This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, this is Ready, Set, Bet here on a Saturday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Matt Brown and Mike Sumich. Football going on the televisions. We'll keep you updated, everything going on in the college football playoff, as well as the NFL, as the Philadelphia Eagles currently have a 7-3 lead with the Commanders driving on them right now. Ole Miss having their way with Tulane, 24-3. They have the ball currently on the good side of the 50 as well. So again, this went off, Mike, as a 17-point spread. And right now, Ole Miss looking to cover that for their backers out there.
Yeah, it could be worse, too. I mean, Ole Miss jumps out to a 14-0 lead early, really kind of slows down the rest of the half, has an opportunity to go up 24-3 heading into half. They end up turning the football over when they're at their own, or at the 7-yard line of Tulane right before the half. So that kind of helps Tulane out. And Tulane has been hanging around here, an interception early in this game, not being able to get into the end zone when they do actually get down in Ole Miss territory, kind of made it look like they were live a little bit. But we've seen this Ole Miss offense come out, move the football again here in the second half like they did early in the first quarter, and looks like we're headed to a blowout.
Field goal for Ole Miss is up and good. So 27-3, 4 minutes and 57 seconds left in the third quarter there in that one. So again, if you have Ole Miss minus 17, feeling pretty good about that right now. And Mike, we won't go into a giant rant about why we shouldn't have teams like Tulane and James Madison in the playoffs in the first place. I think it'll just show up on the field as to why we shouldn't have had them.
Yeah, we've said our piece. Yeah. Look, I get it. You want to have some of these automatic bids. You want to have the good teams that are from non-Power 4 conferences in when there are good teams. There aren't any this year. Yeah. So maybe we didn't need them. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, if you're sitting at home, if you're Notre Dame right now, be mad at Tulane. Be mad at James Madison. Don't be mad at Alabama. You saw what happened. I mean, don't be mad at Alabama. Be mad at these guys. These are the dudes that shouldn't be in. They're the one that are taking your spot. Of course, we're here for with you for the next 4 hours. Hour number four, the contest show, as we will be here with Derek Stevens and Jeff Benson for the official reveal of not only Circa Million, but also Circa Survivor, which is down to 10 entries, playing for 18.7 up top on that one. And if people are telling the truth, Mike, they are paying attention a lot to this Eagles and Commanders game that we have on the television right now, because unofficially, just like last week, we had people coming out and announcing who they were going to take in the contest. And apparently, if they're telling the truth, three of them are on the Eagles here in this one. So again, we just because you say you're doing something on Twitter doesn't mean that you have to do it whenever you go and plug your stuff in with the app. But maybe we have three very, very, well, actually all 10 are super interested in this game, but we have three that are a little bit more invested than the rest of them.
I would guess all 10 pretty locked in at this point. And we'll see if those three actually clicked on the Eagles. We did have a couple people come out, say who they were taking, and then show the slips, right? You got to show the slips if I'm going to believe you right at this point during Circa Survivor. So excited to find out if we do have anybody on this. Again, we'll announce that the fourth hour of the show here, the contest show. And it's going to be fascinating because we will have the result of this football game by the time we run into that show. And so we'll know if there are three people on the Eagles and if they still have a Circa Survivor life. They'll either be very happy or very upset by the time the contest show premieres.
Yeah, just remember, every single ticket worth $1.8 million right now. So three going down potentially could make seven other people very, very happy and put a whole bunch of money into the pool. Mike, we also had a final earlier today in the college football playoff. Miami goes on the road and gets it done at Texas A&M, 10-3. A&M throws a pick as time was running down there at the end of the game where they were trying to tie the game up. But for the vast majority of this thing, a snooze fest. It was a scoreless first half. It was 3-0 at the end of the third quarter. It was a slog out there, but at the end of the day, it does not matter. You advance as long as the number next to your team is bigger than the other one, and that's what Miami did, 10-3, and they're going to move on.
Very much a defensive battle down there in College Station. And it's some issues with the kicking game as well. We had pretty high winds. Yes. You saw that affect the Miami kicker, specifically in the first half. A couple of his field goals looked like they were going to be good and then just kept going. And that just ends up outside of the uprights. I thought this was an interesting game. I thought Miami did a good job moving the football between the tackles when they were running it. for some reason, they kept trying to run gadget plays and trick plays and kind of taking them outside of that offense. A&M was able to move the football sporadically, but three turnovers ended up ending their day. So Miami marches on, installed as a 9.5-point dog to Ohio State.
We did also talk a little bit earlier in the week about how Montana and Montana State were playing over in the FCF semifinals. It's the first time they've ever met in the postseason. Obviously played a ton in the regular season. Tickets, Mike, going for like $600-$700 for this game. Well, they are getting treated to a good one right now. It's 23-20 Montana over Montana State, but still plenty of time left, 8.5 minutes left in the third quarter. But I mean, you know, you got to think about it. You live in Montana. This is kind of like your Super Bowl here.
Very much like your Super Bowl. It's a semifinal game, but the other semifinal is Villanova and Illinois State, two teams not nearly as highly ranked as Montana and Montana State. So for all intents and purposes, a lot of people in that stadium believe this is for the FCS national title. So a lot of hype around that football game. Probably the best college football game we'll see today, if we're just being flat out honest, because A&M Miami did not deliver. These two late games expected to be blowouts, but that one should be a barn burner right down to the wire.
Yeah, and Mike, we are sitting here, Commanders down inside the 5-yard line. We're going to see what they end up doing here on fourth down. I cannot imagine if you're sitting at 4-10 on the season that you're going to settle for the points here. So should be a fourth down attempt for the Commanders, trying to get in the end zone again, only trailing by 4 here. Jake Elliott, another missed field goal. Mike, that is 4 in the last 5 games from him, once considered one of the better kickers in the NFL. And yes, it was short, and the Commanders are going to go for it here on 4th and 1. They can actually get a first down inside the 1-yard line, so they do not have to get in the end zone here, and that might actually be exactly what happened. It just depends on where the knee went down. Yes, it looks like they're going to have a first down at the inch yard line here against the Eagles. So didn't get it in, but got far enough to get the first down. So the Eagles could be looking at a deficit here to this Commanders team. And Mike, we kind of said it. It was like, that's why I didn't love the Eagles as a teaser leg, right? We were like, hey, if the Eagles play good, they should probably win at margin. And if not, they're live to lose. And here we are, deep into the second quarter in this game, and probably going to be at a deficit.
Yeah, divisional game. Two teams that know each other very well. Washington played Philadelphia tight, beat them last year. So you didn't expect that Washington was come out and roll over. You mentioned it, 4-10, absolutely nothing to lose. A big play early in this game where we see the opening kickoff fumbled by Philadelphia. Washington gets on it. That's how they get their 3. They get the football out of the half too. So big spot in this game here with that missed field goal from Elliott. If Washington convert that down to a touchdown the other way and then somehow get a stop, all of a sudden this middle 8 could really be dominated by the Commanders.
So Tulane runs a trick play.
Oh, good.
And it kind of worked until it didn't. So the quarterback took the snap, Mike. And if you're driving along, y'all got to bear with me, okay? Quarterback takes the snap. Two running backs run and flank him, and they all kind of huddle up and stop for a second, and then they all split out in different directions as if to say, like, no one knows who has the ball. Well, the quarterback had kept the ball and probably was going to gain about 7 or 8 yards. Except he fumbled, Mike, and now Ole Miss has the ball back. And so, yeah, it was a trick play that kind of worked until it didn't.
Yeah, did it, though? A trick play that gained 6 or 7 yards doesn't really work, right? Like, isn't the point of a trick play to be able to create a big play by confusing the defense? I get it. Like, a 6-yard run, that's great, but I mean, you got a quarterback to kind of just scramble by himself. Going through all of that and not being able to have more of an upside is my main reason for not loving trick plays. That's why I hate the flea flicker at this point. When does the flea flicker ever work, Matt? Does it work anymore? I don't think I've actually seen it with a wide receiver running wide open down the field in like 2 years.
You know, what was funny is we actually saw a flea flicker work on Thursday night in the NFL, but it was not the big shot down the field. It was a flea flicker that was set up to be a tight end screen, and it actually worked. It was just, but yes, it wasn't the gigantic play. It was actually set up to be the screen play. So, but yeah, it ended up working. If you're a fantasy owner of old Bob Jarkowski Merritt, then good on you. He gets into the end zone. It is 10-7 Commanders here with 3:40 left in the second quarter. So he punches it in, and the Eagles, the 9-5 Eagles, we might add, could still play their way out of the playoffs if they continue to mess around here, are down 3 to the Commanders late here in the second quarter.
Yeah, every Cowboys fan and Cowboys player probably watching this game eagerly as the Eagles have not locked up the division. They need to win one of the final three games or the Cowboys lose one of the final three to be able to lock up the division. They should, let's be honest. They've got Washington here. They've got Washington in the final week. It should be a done deal, but, you know, it's not over till it's over, Matt.
I know. I mean, this they thought that they were going to be easily winning here in this one, you know, so as did the market as this Eagles team goes off as a touchdown favorite. But, you know, again, lots of time to play, but it is, you never like to see what's going on here with this team. The missed field goal, the kind of, there's been some drop passes. A.J. Brown yet again, you know, has a chance to make a play in the end zone, doesn't do it, and then turns into a missed field goal and all this. Just, there's a lot of things to dislike about this Eagles team.
It's they're like the ultimate vibes team, Matt.
Yeah.
Like the vibes have just not been good for like 3 years. Last year, they win the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, the vibes destroyed this team. It's another year where you're just not sure what version of the Eagles you're going to get. And Saquon Barkley specifically not able to run the football as well as last year. He looks a little worn down. No Lane Johnson again, as he was not able to come back from injury and enter into this game, their most important offensive lineman. So still a little bit of a shorthanded Eagles team that still can't just like, we were wondering, was that beatdown last week of the Raiders going to give them the mojo to kind of get that back and be able to play their best? Half in, we have not seen them play their best football.
No, absolutely. We are about an hour and 15 minutes away from another first round game here, James Madison and Oregon. We'll give you our thoughts there on that one. About a 3-touchdown favorite is Oregon. And of course, there's another NFL game today as well. The Green Bay Packers are going to head on the road to the Chicago Bears. We'll give you our thoughts on that one as well as every single NFL game, all the bets in our account, all the leans that we have, every single prop play in the games we want to fire into the sun. Don't go anywhere. It's Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
27-3 Ole Miss over Tulane. We're going to head to the fourth quarter. Ole Miss right down there knocking on the door to score yet again there in that one. So we're about to probably get into preservation mode there in that one, Mike. And so as we just see a player leave the field holding his shoulder, so I imagine they get in the end zone here and we see some very, very conservative play calling and all of that here for Ole Miss. Cause again, style points don't matter anymore. You're in the playoff, you're in the bracket. You just need to move on. It does not matter how many you win by. So I don't know if the 17 will become a sweat, but we'll kind of see how it all plays out here towards the end of this one. Certainly something we'll be monitoring in the next game as well.
Yeah, if you're holding a minus 17 ticket, you'd like them to punch it in the end zone here, right? Just get up, have a 14-point cushion, 2-touchdown cushion, so that the back door is a little more closed than it would necessarily be if it's a 10-point game over the 17, so 27-point game. I would be surprised if Shambliss comes back out after this drive. We saw him get injured toward the end of the first half. Simmons came in for, I believe it was 3 plays. One of those was the fumble down by in the red zone. Shambliss being banged up earlier, this game being out of question, having to be ready for a game later in the next round, it kind of all leads to the fact that you're going to start seeing him pulled. Lacy probably comes out. You're probably starting to pull defenders as well because, as you said, winning by 50 and winning by 20 makes absolutely no difference to this Ole Miss team this week.
So, Mike, let's take a look here. And again, we are very much a forward-looking show, but when the Thursday night game has our number one and number two power-ranked teams going head-to-head, we at least need to look back because both of these teams looked every bit like the two best teams in the NFL in this game at times. Certainly, you know, there was some grit and resiliency there from the Seahawks where it looked like the Rams could have gone and run away with this thing. I think if there's anything to take away, that if you want to poke holes in anything with this, could be the fact that it seemed like Sean McVay got a little conservative and a little too conservative, a little too soon there in this one, which led to the overtime loss as the Seahawks go for two and get it done 38-37. Game went over, by the way, if anyone was wondering. As we said, Mike, as we were, you know, kind of previewing this thing on Wednesday, weather report did not look all that bad. I know everyone was trying to like make it out to be this horrible, you know, crazy weather game. And it just really wasn't that at all. We got 270 out of Darnold and 457 out of Stafford in this one. And oh, by the way, we woke up on Friday morning with Puka Nacua only plus 135 in the offensive player of the year market. So that's fun to have that go down. But, you know, they're the two best teams in the NFL. I don't know if you came away with anything that you really, you know, think differently about these two teams. I kind of don't. I think it's the two best teams still.
Yeah, I agree with you. These are the two best teams in football. Yeah. Seattle got banged up in the secondary later in this game, so we're going to have to keep an eye on whether or not they're going to be able to get those players back. And when they get those players back, it sets up now for a Seattle-San Francisco Week 18 matchup for the one seed if both of those teams win out, and they should be able to do that considering who is on the schedule in front of them. Look, this is a great football game. It was a great football game. First half somehow goes under for me. I appreciate that because I had a big first half under bet, and then the game flies over the total. I was disappointed in McVay. I was actually a little disappointed in Stafford. He had all these like huge stats, right?
It was the worst good game of the season. Yes.
He had a couple just misses in the fourth quarter when he could have really salted this game away that allowed the Seahawks to be able to come back. The question for me, and I think this is the overall question you have to ask, because we've talked about Sam Darnold quite a bit on this show, and does the rating change when we get to big games? Does the rating change when we get to playoffs? It looked like we had scared Sam Darnold out there for a good portion of this football game, but he closed it playing some of the best football he has played all year. The question is, when we get that San Francisco game in Week 18, when we get Sam Darnold in the playoffs, are we going to get the first three quarters of Sam Darnold, or are we going to get the fourth quarter in overtime of Sam Darnold? Because that is really the biggest linchpin in how good this Seattle Seahawks team could be. I came away with this with the opinion that the Rams are a better football team just because I trust Stafford more and I trust that offense more, especially when they get Adams back. And now I'm worried about the banged up Seattle secondary.
Our boy Mumpfield got home for us on the first quarter, which felt really good there in that one. So, it was overall a nice betting experience. And obviously just a viewing experience. One of the best games. Just, man, on a Thursday night, standalone. You can't ask for much better than that.
No, I was live betting this game like crazy too, Matt, because I put a big Rams plus 2.5 in when they were down 7-3, and I had made the decision. I thought they were the better team. We go to overtime, and I'm like, oh, come on. So I cover bet some on Seattle money line. I'm like, well, that's why I started texting you. I'm like, they're going to go for two, right? Let's go for two here. Let's end this as a 1-point game either way, because it could work out well for your boy. So I appreciated how that one ended as well, being able to cash the Rams and the Seattle money line, and the Rams plus 2.5 and the Seattle money line. But it was, look, we deserved one of those.
Yeah.
We've had some real stinkers on Thursday Night Football. We deserved one of those. And it's ironic that the two worst losses for the Rams have now both come on Thursday night. We had that early game in the season with the banged up San Francisco team. The Rams really did everything they could to lose that football. The fumble at the one by Kyron Williams, the overtime 4th-and-1 call that was, McVay has said, was a poor call by him. And now you have this Thursday night game. And the irony is those two games are going to decide the Rams' difference between possibly being the 1 and the 6 seed in the NFC. If they won either of those games, they'd be in a significantly better position today than they are.
So the Eagles are going to, I assume, try a really long field goal. Elliott's already missed a 43-yarder in this one, but it is 18 seconds left in the second quarter. They don't pick up the first down, so we'll see if they line him up from really deep. Ole Miss did punch it in the end zone, so we're 34-3 there in that one. As we just now at this point, like we said, it's just kind of 1, 2, 3, get out of here without getting injured. You know, like, it's like every play call, just fall down, don't get hit, don't do anything crazy. Let's move on and try to stay intact if we can here. Ole Miss going to advance over Tulane there in that one. Guys, it is the holiday season. Our friends over at Omaha Steaks already have gift baskets and gift packages available for you over there. And we have a VEASAN exclusive, 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more. So go in and visit omahasteaks.com/VEASAN. That is omahasteaks.com/VSIN. And when you do, you're going to get 50% off site-wide as well. So 16 free smash burgers with any $129 or more purchase and 50% off site-wide. omahasteaks.com/VEASAN. They put the offense back out there, Mike. So we're going to see if they're actually going to, okay. All right. So they tried to draw them off because it was 4th-and-4. So technically, had they drawn them off, they could have gotten a first down. It did not work. They call a timeout. And so now I assume Jake Elliott will trot out there for 57-yarder here from him. So looks like we're going to get 57 from Elliott.
This is kind of a big kick.
Yes, because
with 18 seconds left,
yeah.
If he misses it, there's what, 12 seconds left on the clock? You're one passing play away from a field goal the other direction there. Now, no timeouts for Washington, so it would have to be a sideline route to be able to get them into field goal range. But a big, big swing point here right at the end of the first half, considering the Commanders get the ball out of half.
So, again, Jake Elliott, who has missed four field goals in the last five games, make that five field goals in the last five games as that one goes wide left. And, Mike, 13 seconds. You don't even have to get to the sideline. You can throw a pass over the middle and go clock it with 13 seconds left. So we'll see. This is, again, you didn't have much of a choice. Oh, was penalty on Washington offside.
Oh, no. You can't do that. You can't jump. Especially a 57-yarder when the dude's already missed one. Like, you can't jump off sides there.
Oh, he did. Even worse. He was just lined up off sides. He was just lined up off sides.
Now you get another try from 52.
On a 57-yarder.
And the issue is not the leg
yarder.
Well, now you could. What do you do here if you're Philly? You put the offense back out now?
Yeah, and try to get five more yards. Yeah, try to get five more yards.
Clock.
Yeah. Try to get five more yards for him because obviously 57 was too much. So, like, see if you can't get closer to that. But yeah, I mean, Jake Elliott again. I mean, this is stuff too, Mike, that I think we just kind of like start banking a little bit as special teams are something that we don't handicap a ton of, but let's just go back to Thursday night. What turned that game around? Punt return for a touchdown, you know? And I mean, that was a real key turning point in this. And if there was one thing to nitpick, which I didn't bring up in handicap on Wednesday about this, like, the Rams special teams have actually rated fairly low over the course of the season. I think the only thing that they haven't done well, and sure enough, it was a very big thing in that game.
Yeah, the kick return really ignited the offense. It felt like that game was over, down 16. The defense had been playing well. Darnold hadn't been playing with as much confidence as you'd like. You get that Shaheed punt return. They get the two-point conversion. All of a sudden, it's a one-score game.
You can't make this up. He just missed again.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you can't make this up. He missed again. Oh my God.
Not great.
He pulled it left again. Elliott.
So all three to the left.
Yeah, 6 points left on the field off of his foot just in the first half here in this one. Oh man, you can't switch kickers right before the playoffs either. God, Eagles are going to be, well, I guess you possibly could. We'll take a look at the two games still to come here later this evening.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is 34-3, about 12 and a half left in the fourth. Shambles is still in the game, Mike, and just actually took off on a scramble. I don't know if you really want him doing that in a 34-3 game. I know, in a 34-3 game. I mean, like, he's not going to win the Heisman. It's not like, what are we doing? We're not padding stats here. Like, anyway, he did slide down at least, didn't take a hit, but he's in the game in a 31-point lead in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, your guess is as good as mine. You could, like, if it was Tulane, you could just be like, well, head coach is leaving anyway. What does he care? No, this is like the actual new head coach that is coaching this game for Ole Miss. So, you know, maybe get your dudes out of there. You know, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, Tulane also down 31. They're not playing after this game. Just leave, like, go ahead, sling it, right? Like, yeah. Ole Miss, you got to suit up again here and win another football game if you want to continue to advance in the college football playoff. Trinidad Shambles, pretty important to your plan on winning football games, and someone who got banged up earlier today. Maybe don't need him out there. 12 minutes left, up 31.
Yeah, and I mean, again, obviously, just he can't give up his tendencies either because I just watched him scramble on a play where it kind of broke down and stuff. So it's like, yeah, you got to get him out of there after this series. If you are just tuning in, the Washington Commanders are up on the Eagles at half here as Jake Elliott has missed not one but two different field goals. One was, you know, whatever, 52 is obviously not a give me, but like, you know, most kickers, seems like anything under 55 is almost a give me these days. And so misses that one and misses a 43 yarder earlier. And Mike, as we said, if telling the truth, there are three Circus Survivor entries on this Eagles squad as they are going to have a second half where they try to, Chambliss took off again and he dove head first. Oh my God. Oh God. He got in the end zone. Okay, good. You had your moment. Now get him out of the game. I mean, come on.
Yes. As you were saying, there's apparently three Circus Survivors who say they're sweating. Official sweat here as you're down 10-7 at half. The Commanders also get the football out of the half. Very odd statistical half, which I feel like I say every single week for the Eagles. Only two people catch passes in Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. So no Goddard catches, nothing out of the backfield, just the two outside guys, which is weird because for a while, it was never the two outside guys. It was tight ends and running backs. So we'll see if there's any adjustment there. The Commanders traditionally terrible against tight ends. You can get Goddard at 17.5 reception yards. Any interest, Matt? You looking for a little Goddard action second half?
No, I'm not looking for any Goddard action at all. No Goddard action for me.
You know, we got a game going on. You got to have something out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, no Goddard action for me. I'm just glad I ended up staying off of this thing because I just cannot believe what I'm watching here. Extra point is up and good. 41-3, Ole Miss.
All right.
Over Tulane. So that one's done. You can flip the channel over there, Mike. I don't know what you're watching now, but like that one can officially be. That one can go.
I'm telling you, it's rough here. I got a TV in here, right?
Yeah.
We got a game at halftime. That one's 41-3. The FCS game that we were talking about, now 11-point game. So that one's not fun. I'm looking for hockey games to watch during this halftime break now.
All right. Well, you know, I'm sure you'll find one that you like. None that I like. Yeah, none that I want to talk about.
I put the Blues on.
Yeah, I don't want to
talk. I put the Blues on. They're up 1-0. They're not the most fun team to watch, but hey, they're my favorite team. So we got them on the screen for until it started the second half.
As you say, we got a kick in about an hour. James Madison, the other team that doesn't deserve to be in this playoff, going up against Oregon. They are 20.5 to 21-point dogs to Oregon. 45.5 to 46 is our total here in this one. And Mike, again, we're kind of watching it play out in front of us here. It's probably a name your score type deal here with Oregon, but the problem here being, again, maybe they decide, unlike what Ole Miss is doing right here, maybe they do decide, hey, listen, we're up 28. Who cares how many we win by? It doesn't matter at this point. And they pull their guys. I just hate these games where you're up four touchdowns and you are still in backdoor territory. Like that just, not my style of betting. If anything, I'm laying it with Oregon, though. Again, we're watching it play out in front of our very eyes right here. If anything, I'd lay it with Oregon. I'm not taking the points, but again, not my style of game to play.
And not only are we watching it, we actually have watched this exact thing happen before. As Ole Miss beat Tulane pretty handily earlier this season as well. So having a rematch on top of it really was like the icing on the upset cake of mine. Look, it's ducks or pass for me at 20. I wouldn't be surprised if this kicks at 21. How many people you think are going to look at their account, see the Ole Miss money come in, and then just click the Oregon button? Like you're going to get a lot of public money coming in late because of how that big favorite is doing. We always see it in these games where you see that one favorite wins, the next favorite gets bet. If you want Oregon, I'd bet it now before it goes to 20.5 or 21.
Mike, I don't know why Schefter decided that he was just going to put this out this afternoon. I guess, you know, whatever, anything for engagement, right? Anything for clicks. Sources. Dolphins offered 4 first round picks to Cincinnati in 2020 to draft Joe Burrow.
All right. Good job. Yeah. Wish they took it.
Yeah.
Then we wouldn't have Tua. That would have been great.
So it's like, okay. All right. I mean, I guess. Cool. Why are we talking about this 5 years later? Why are we talking about this now? I mean,
how does that just come out too? Like, someone's been sitting on that bombshell for 5 years to say 4 first round picks for the number one pick. So it's interesting. So
like,
I'm
not telling Schefter this until 2026. All right. I'm not doing it.
Right. you kind of wonder, like, is he trying to get out what it would cost to go up to the number one pick? Because this year we've kind of found out it feels like the teams that were most likely going to get the number one overall selection are interested in trading it. Does this become, is that the reason this is relevant right now? Or is this just like, hey, I'm bored on a Saturday. Might as well drop a Shefty bomb.
Bored on a Saturday. And then I guess just with Tua getting benched and Burrow having all of these questions asked to him about whether he wants to still be there or not, you know?
Cool in Miami. If you had Burrow in Miami, it'd be so much better than Cincinnati. With the vibe there. Oh, that would have been great. I would have loved to root for Burrow. Instead, I just have to tell you how he's overrated.
you would change in a heartbeat. Boom. He becomes the greatest quarterback in the NFL.
I don't know. I am one of the more negative Tua people out there. If you poll people on Tua, I'm pretty low on him.
There is about a minute and a half left in halftime here. If you want to get in, 2.5 is a live line. Philadelphia is favored there in that one. 38.5 the live total. And again, it is 10-7 currently in favor of the Commanders. We did leave 6 points on the field for Philadelphia. So in theory, could have a 3-point lead here at half, but 2.5 right now on the live. But what do you think about 2.5? I mean, it's less than a field goal. Philly's been moving the ball. It's not like they haven't moved the ball. Huh. That's interesting.
I wish the Commanders were not getting the ball out of the half.
Yeah.
Because then I would be all over the Philly 2.5. Yeah. But I mean, obviously that's why you're getting 2.5 and not 3.5. If the Commanders got the football at the break, it'd be 3.5. It would be Eagles or pass based on watching this first half, because this wasn't a half where it felt like the Commanders dominated play. They got a fumble on the opening kickoff that resulted in 3 points. They were able to have one real drive. But as you mentioned, the Eagles moved the football almost every single time they got it. They've been able to run it. You've got Brown involved. You've got Smith involved. It feels like this is an Eagles team that can continue that momentum. I'm not betting it, to be very clear, but it would be Eagles or pass for me.
And not that this matters, but Jalen Lane, wide receiver for the Commanders, did go out in this game. He has now been ruled out, downgraded to out with an ankle injury there. So down at least a guy that was getting some run there for this Commanders squad. We still have Green Bay and Chicago a little bit later. Of course, we'll give you guys a full preview there of this one. 1.5 right now in favor of the Bears. 45.5 is the prevailing total out there in that one. Mike and I talking before we came on air a little bit about this, and we'll give you our full breakdown and all that. But as we mentioned, we were talking about some of these award markets that were out there and how these things might be impacted. And hopefully, again, not saying that any of these are going to get home, but hopefully you do have that offensive player of the year ticket on Puka Nacua in your account. It's down to +135 over at DraftKings as he does go nuclear yet again. Mike, the thing I don't agree with here is Stafford's odds got worse in the MVP market. Like, he can't play defense, right? I mean, this is where this whole like quarterback wins thing is so ridiculous, because it's like, yeah, he missed a couple passes, but he did still throw for 457 and did, a lot without Davante Adams out there against the best, one of the best, if not the best defenses in the NFL. And yet his odds got worse for MVP. I don't get that.
I actually do, because to me, that was a game where if the Rams won, he wins MVP. So you have to have that baked into the price before the game. And if they lose, then all of a sudden there are routes where they end up in the sixth seed. And if they lose again, all of a sudden you've got guys like Josh Allen, you've got guys like Drake May, who have much cleaner paths to be able to win MVP. It felt like Stafford could shut the door. So if you're baking in to the price, hey, it's over if this dude wins tonight, you should see some regression on that number. And honestly, what is even that big red? What was it, -320 to -250? So still a pretty clear favorite in the MVP market.
It had gotten as big as -900 in game and then ends up at -250. Well, yeah. So yeah, we see that.
If he wins, it was over.
Yeah, we are going here in the second half. We'll keep you updated. Eagles and Commanders, and of course, everything going on in college football as well.
Ready, set, bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Mike Somich, we get a punt from the Commanders back to the Eagles. And the reason I bring this up, the live line is 3.5. They are down 3 in this game. That said, Marcus Mariota is in the tent and Josh Johnson is warming up on the sidelines right now for the Commanders. It is 3.5. If he actually gets ruled out in this game, it's going to go to much more than that. Just something if you're driving along out there or if you're at home, you want to consider. But it does look like he's in the blue medical tent, and they say Josh Johnson is warming up on the sidelines. That is a – well, dang, they just showed it on the on television.
I was seeing if I could parlay. So Eagles money line parlayed with Oregon money line is -190.
Yeah.
That's I not mean, terrible.
No, it's really not. Yeah, the 3.5. Well, they're not moving, but they're juicing. So it's 118 now on – it's 118, 115. So the juice is very high now on the 3.5 after they show the Josh Johnson thing there on the television. So we'll see how this goes. But, again, the Eagles have the ball. They move the ball in the first half pretty good. Josh Johnson, I mean, God bless him, but he's no Marcus Mariota. I mean, Marcus Mariota might be the best backup in the NFL.
Yeah, especially for the scheme. I mean, because he is Jaden Daniels light, right? So he can kind of do everything or everything Daniels does just a little bit worse. And he's played enough this year that you're seeing the ability to kind of connect with some of these wide receivers as well. It looked like a non-contact injury too. Like he was shoved a little bit, but not one where like someone fell on him or anything like that, which is always a concern. And the Eagles have been running the football as well in this game. This is the other part that we haven't seen from the Eagles consistently. They've struggled with the run game. Barkley 10 for 45, Hurts 4 for 36. You would expect that if they really need to, they're going to be able to ground and pound their way to at least get into field goal range. Then the big question, will they make a field goal, Matt? Because that has been a problem today.
So another little nugget here in this one, because there is a whole lot of football to be played. If something is wrong with Mariota, Mike, Washington only had two quarterbacks available because they didn't bring Sam Hartman off of the practice squad, so they couldn't designate him as the emergency third quarterback. So they only have Mariota and Johnson. So if something were to happen to Johnson, then we would be getting like Debo just running the Wildcat like every single time or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I think it might be Debo. That might be a good call.
Yeah.
Like I wonder if we look, because you find out like who played quarterback in high school or college or whatever it was. But that would add a little spice.
Yeah.
A little spice to this game around holiday time.
Yeah, I'd never root for someone to get injured. So maybe we could just get like a, I don't know. Maybe he gets a tummy ache or something. Maybe Josh Johnson can get a tummy ache. They're like not a real injury, just like, you know, get a tummy ache. I want to see what they have to do, man. That would be great. I would probably be Debo, right? And they would just run it every single time, right?
I would think it would be Debo. Debo or Burks. For some reason, I thought Burks played quarterback in high school, but I could be wrong. Yeah. Or college, maybe it was early. Halfway home to Goddard. You didn't trust it. It's already got 8 yards, Matt.
Yeah, I just watched the catch. All those 3.5s are now like juice to like -130 and stuff, whatever. So you can lay the most expensive 3.5 you've ever seen in your life.
Eagles also on the move now, back to back first downs as they've crossed their own 40 yard line, getting close to midfield. So you're going to see that juice move just because of the position there as well.
And
to pop
four and a half.
Where I thought now. Yep.
And now 4.5.
Yep.
So there we go. So the opportunity was there. The opportunity is now gone. We'll see what the Eagles are able to do here again. 10 very interested people, but 3 a little more interested than the others as they have a ticket on this team to advance here, heading towards $18.7 million. So Mariota just went to the locker room. So it is going to be Josh Johnson for the Commanders.
Hey-o.
There we go. Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. So this is 1.5 in favor of the Bears at home over the Packers, 45.5. Is our total here in this one, Mike? What do we feel about this Chicago team going up against a Green Bay team? Obviously loses Micah Parsons, and the effect of that, if people are looking at, yeah, you know, he's good. It's one dude. But it's one dude that had 12.5 sacks and the highest pressure rate in the NFL. And what that does is make everybody else's job exponentially easier on the defensive side of the ball because they have to account for two different guys for that one person. And it was kind of a night and day thing, right? With this, once they acquired him, that defense last year was certainly not anything that we were jumping up and down about. They get him, it becomes a really, really good defense. I'm very curious as to what they're going to look like without Micah Parsons out there.
Well, here's the problem. It's not just the one dude, Devontae Wyatt also on IR. Mm-hmm. another one of their pass rushers. So he's out. They also lost Evan Williams. Well, we'll see. He is one of those that we're waiting to see if he's officially in or out. I haven't seen the report yet on the actives and inactives, but he was questionable for this game. He's the safety for Green Bay, who got injured late in the game last week. One of their best run stoppers kind of comes up and plugs holes for them. He would be a big loss for this Packers defense as well. On the Bears side, though, no Adunze. We're not going to have Burden. So you're missing some key pieces on both teams here. I think it's going to be a fascinating game. I lean toward the Bears here. I haven't gotten in the account, though. I may end up betting a little bit of Bears before the game. I mentioned the Adunze and the Burden absences. Where do you think those targets go? Because you've got Loveland sitting at 43.5 on his receiving yards over. You've got Zacchaeus sitting at 27.5 on his receiving yards over. Those are the two most logical guys in my mind to be able to pick up a lot of that slack.
So it just hit right now, Mike. So we will see. So the Bears just released. We knew Burden and Odunze were already out. We're getting Jonathan Ford on the defensive line also out for them. Case Keenum, obviously, emergency third quarterback, so he is inactive as well. Josh Jacobs is officially active tonight for the Packers. I'm trying to get the full list here. Everybody just wants everyone to know about the fantasy player. You know, it's like, he's good to go, you know?
Christian Watson and Zach Tom both matter for the Packers. They were, and as does Williams, all three were game time.
Yes, I hadn't Christian heard anything Watson, officially before Christian, we started the show. Christian Watson active, Zach Tom inactive. So that there matters. We go. So there we go.
That Zach Tom injury is an important one. I mean, he's probably their best offensive lineman, if not either best or second best offensive lineman there. And you can't lose these pieces on both sides of the ball, specifically on the lines here, and expect the Packers to be the same football team.
Yeah, this is, Eagles 4th-and-7. Keep the offense out there. They're going for it here on 4th-and-7. Great protection from the line. Hurts has all day and throws a pick.
You're just like so going through it.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, had all day. I mean,
I was just waiting for the, and he hit someone 15 yards down the field running an in route, right? Just wide open. I've got it going now.
Illegal contact. It's going to be an automatic first down. So somebody hit Dallas Goedert after 5 yards. There it is. And grabbed him around the waist. Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
This Eagles team is catching some breaks in this game. You've got the lined up offsides on the missed 57 yarder. Now on this play, you've got honestly, he should have also knocked that pick down. Like Samich Pepe. Because
that's an arm.
When you're throwing it 40 yards downfield on 4th-and-7, do not intercept it. Yeah, if you're going to immediately run out of bounds.
Yeah, it would have been a great arm punt, but instead they get a first down here. So they will continue on with this drive again, trailing by 3, about halfway through the, 8.5 minute mark there of the third quarter. Guys, if you want to bet smarter this holiday season, VSiN has the perfect gift for you or just the sports better in your life. We have a holiday special going on right now. Everything we do now to May the 1st for just $79. You can go in. That gets you all the best bets that we do every single day. We get the betting splits. We get the AI prop tool that we have over there now doing NFL and NBA. And of course, you get the articles breaking down every single thing going on in the sports world on a day-to-day basis. VSiN.com/subscribe. $79 everything we do now until May the 1st. 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we do finally get a touchdown for the Green Wave. They get in. So it's a 31-point. Don't sweat it, guys, if you're holding the 17. It is a 31. Even extra point pending, it'll be a 31-point game. So it's they're not going to bust your ticket here on this one. So John Summerall will pack this up here. He will head to Florida as the new head coach of Florida. Mike, I don't know if you saw or not. He knew he was getting all this money from Florida or whatever, and he left Tulane with a $100,000 donation to their NIL program. Which I thought was pretty
nice of him.
Yeah, I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because, like, obviously, not going from a Power Four to a Power Four rival, you're not going to get the same treatment as Lane Kiffin did when he was heading out of town. But it's nice to see some of these guys say, "Hey, look, I appreciate everything that happened here, the time that I spent here." We've always talked about this. This is very much like a dating relationship. You're going to break up. It's not going to last forever. It's not a marriage anymore in college football. And so to have the nice parting gift there, I think very, 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 very classy move by Somerville there.
Yeah. It's a some just definitely a cool deal. And again, it's a 31 point margin in this one with 4 minutes left. So I think your 17s are safe. I hope I didn't jinx any of you out there with all of that. We got to run through all of these games. Of course, Buffalo and Cleveland, Jets and New Orleans, Minnesota and the Giants, all of those and more when we come back here on Ready, Set, Bet.